I'm deeply grateful to Mrs. Berkowitz and Mrs. Leskowitz and the officers of Neshe Cares for having invited me to come to speak at this very special keynote. Every single day, we daven in Shemayin Esrei. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the 11th bracha of Shemayin Esrei, Hashiva Shaytenu Kavar Shaina. Restore for us the judges that we had in the earliest time. V'yayatzeinu kevatchila. Give us once again, like we had in the beginning, our counselors, our advisors. V'hoser mimenu yogayim v'anocha. And remove from us worry and sighing and groaning. Every single day, we worry about our family, how we're going to be machanach our children, how we're going to marry them off, our financial situation, our accomplishments. We worry about our own problems. But we also sigh when we hear the Shrek Lecha Tzoris in Klal Yisrael. People terribly ill. Young people, men and women, dying at ages, young ages, leaving Yisraimim and Yisraimites. People who have sadness. People who have lives that are unfulfilled. Just the other day, somebody called me and said, I hear you speaking about stress management. That's like a modern problem. And I said to them, you're wrong. Chazal understood way back. The Antik Nefes Agdola told us that every day we should daven v'hoseh mimenu yogayim v'anocha, that we should remove groaning, sighing, worrying. Stress management is a problem that Chazal understood way back, miyom kadmoinim. And so perhaps today, maybe as the advertisement told us, that we are overtired and overworked and overwhelmed. Maybe the problem is compounded today, but it's a problem miyamim kadmoinim. And taka, many of us feel stressed out, and we certainly know people that are stressed out. So what can we do about it? And the answer is that we must find a solution. Every single one of us in this room and who will be listening to these tapes and videos is obligated to find a solution to this problem. And I'll tell you why. It's actually a Gemara. The Gemara is in Brachos Lamed Beis Amud Beis. The Gemara tells us that there was a certain chassid. The Gemara doesn't say who he was. And the Gemara tells us he was davening. And as he's davening, a general comes over to him. A general in the army, a goyish fellow. And the general says to him, good morning, hello. And the chassid doesn't answer. So the general is very angry. And he waits until this fellow finishes davening and listens to what he says to him. He says, I don't understand you, Rav Yitz. He says, you know that I am a general and you're a poshita person. I could have killed you because you didn't answer me. And it says in your Torah, in Dvarim Dalet Pasuk Tes, Raki Shomer Lecha Ushmor Nafshecha Miyayim. You have to be very careful and watch out for your life. And then he tells him there's another pasuk, V'nishmarta Miyayim L'Nafshecha. You have to be very careful and be vigilant when it comes to life-threatening matters. So here I'm a general, and you go and you don't answer me? According to your own favor, you should have said hello to me. So the chassid says, wait a second. Before you do anything, let me respond. Listen to the answer he gave him on the spot. He says, you're a general, right? Imagine that you were talking to the king who is above you. And all of a sudden, as you're talking to the king, somebody comes over to you and says, hi, general. Would you dare answer that person? What happens? What would you do? What would happen to you if you would talk to your friend in front of the king? So the general has to be mighty. Of course, the king could cut my head off. Because after all, I have to give more cover to the king. So the man says, look, you'll admit, you're only here today, but one day you're going to die. But I was standing in front of the Melech Malkei HaMalchim. So of course I had to give more cover to him than I had to give to you. So that's why he didn't answer you. So fine, he got away with it. And he bid him good day, and the chassid lived to tell the story. But the Gemara and Chazal and the Shulchan Aruch comes to tell us the very last simen in Chayshim Mishpat. V'chein in simen Tov Chav Zayin Tishkot M'chek. V'chein Kol Mishel, any obstacle or hindrance, sheyesh bo sakanos nefashos, that has a life-threatening element to it, mitzvot asay lehasirai. It's a mitzvah asay from the Torah to remove this obstacle. Ulehizor b'dovei yofa, to be very careful, as it says, hishama lecha ushmar nafshecha. So I want to tell you about a certain study that I read about in the science section of a very famous newspaper. Not everybody likes to bring the newspaper in the house, so I won't mention it. But in the science section of this authoritative newspaper, just the other day on May 2nd, it said, evidence shows that the foods people eat and how much they exercise and how well they cope with stress can affect their health and well-being, including the risk of developing heart disease, cancer, hypertension, diabetes, osteoporosis, and depression. Every single one of those things can be a result, chas v'shalom, of stress. As a matter of fact, the study went on to say that excess stress can undermine the immune system and render a person susceptible to conditions like frequent infections, cancer, and heart disease. And you know, when I read that, you know what gave me such a frightening insight? That if chas v'shalom, we cause stress to someone. Tonight we're talking about how to cope with stress, and we're going to talk about coping with stress. But if all these things are the result of stress, can you imagine what kind of an achrayus we have if we cause stress to someone? If an employer causes an employee excess stress, he makes her or him do something in the workplace, extra work that he really doesn't have to have done by 5 o'clock, but because he's the boss, he's going to insist that it's done, and the worker has no choice and has to do it. So who knows, that employer could be mischayev the nafshei because he's causing stress. And if children come to parents with their children when the grandparents really can't handle everybody together on yontif, and they cause excess stress to the babies and to the babies who can't take seven kids with seven kids each. Who knows what chas v'shalom a person has on their conscience, on their record, that they're causing stress to parents. Or if a mother-in-law makes a comment to her daughter about her son-in-law, he hasn't said an original thing in the last 5 years, and she puts the daughter-in-law in a conflict between her and her husband, the young woman's husband, the stress that she's causing, the aveira that she's doing by causing stress, when it can lead to these shrekwacha illnesses. And how about a husband who comes home late 2 hours and doesn't call? The stress that he causes to his wife, forget the shalom bayis issue. Now it's a halacha issue. If it could cause cancer and hypertension and osteoporosis, it's frightening. I never looked at it that way until I read this study. It's frightening. So tonight we are going to learn not only to cope with the stress that we have, but to make sure that we are not chas v'shalom the cause of stress in anyone else. So I have a very close friend. We daven literally next to each other in shul. He's a psychologist. His name is Baruch Lera. And he told me something very interesting. He said there is actually a progression. The progression begins with stress, it continues into anger, and it ends up in an explosion. That's the progression. Stress, anger, and explosion. Sometimes it's not an explosion, the person doesn't release, it's an implosion. He kind of suffers within, and sometimes that's even worse. So what we must learn tonight is how to break that progression, to make sure that that progression doesn't even begin. So let me tell you a wonderful insight from a young Talmud Chacham in Queens, Rav Hershel Welcher, who gave me a very interesting insight into a famous Chazal, which we all know. We all know in Ovay Perikei Mishnah Zayin, it tells us, Asara Nisim Nasal Aveisenu B'Beis HaMikdash. There were 10 Nisim that went on in the Beis HaMikdash every day. One of them, Oynim Shufufim, everybody when they stood, they were so packed. As a matter of fact, Binyamin said such an amazing thing. Shof al Hamayim means floating on water. He says there were people that were so squeezed that some people said their feet didn't even reach the ground because they were just held up because of the crush of the crowd. Oynim Shufufim, that's his type. And yet, Umishachavim Revokim, everybody bowed down. There was enough space for everybody. How did it happen? The Rav Hershel Welcher told me an incident happened to him, this cast, Rosh Chodesh Erev, Rosh Chodesh Elul Erev Yisrael, and he understood this Chazal. Listen to what happened. He tells me that in Erev Yisrael, Erev Rosh Chodesh Elul, before the month of Elul, the serious month, many, many people go to many Mekomos Hakdoshim throughout Erev Yisrael to daven. Now he told me he didn't even make reservations on the bus going to Kever Rachel because that would be impossible. It was too crowded. So he decided he's going to go up to Tveria, the Mekomos Hakdoshim in Tveria and Tzfat, and he made reservations on a bus, him and his family, and he comes 9 o'clock by the bus is packed, and there's no room for him. So he says to the tour guide, he says, I don't understand, you know that I called you, and I made reservations for everybody in the family. He said, don't worry, 15 minutes, there'll be another bus, you'll get on the bus. Sure enough, 15 minutes later, another bus, and he's on, but it's packed. Every seat, people are standing. They drive, it's hot like anything. And the way that they go through to Tveria, they go through Shechem, and they go through a very desert type of place, and it's hot, it's over 110 degrees. He's looking out the window, and all of a sudden, together with the bus driver, they see ahead of them a bus that stops, and everybody is out of that bus. And the bus driver pulls up, and then soon Rabbi Welcher realizes that was the bus he was supposed to be on. The air conditioner broke, the compressor broke, everybody is now off the bus, and they're sweltering. So of course he's so grateful, Baruch Hashem, that he got onto the second bus, not the first one. But the Israeli bus driver says to the people in the bus, we can't leave these people over there, it's too hot, it's dangerous. I know there's a kiosk or a hotel up 10, 15 minutes ahead. Let's take all the people from that bus, we'll put them on our bus, and then we'll travel, and then they'll get off at the next hotel. So everybody from that crowded bus got onto everybody with this crowded bus. And Rabbi Welcher said everybody was smiling, everybody was so happy, he was happy because he was on this bus. They were happy they were out of the heat. And everybody was happy because they all did a wonderful chesed. Because they were thinking, what would have been the alternative? You're going to leave Yidden out in that terrible heat. He said, that's how I understood the Gemara. Well, how could it be? All you did to fool them, they're so packed. How could they bow down and find space? You know why? Because what's the alternative? No Beis HaMikdash, no Kapara, no talking to Hashem. So of course, when you think what the alternative is, then all of a sudden there's room for everybody. Everybody's so happy. And he tells me, listen to this. In Kew Garden Hills, there's a Sphinx-based Medrash. Believe it or not. So there's a Sphinx Beis Medrash. And right next to the Sphinx Beis Medrash, there's a fellow, an older man, he has a house, and every Shabbos, the kids are running around all over his lawn. Can I know there's a lot of children? So one person once went over to this old fellow and said to him, doesn't it bother you? Doesn't it stretch you out that all these kids are running over your lawn every Shabbos? Listen to what he says. He said, I went through the concentration camp. I saw what people did with Yiddish Kinder. When I see these Heilige Kinder coming to shul and running on my lawn, I'm thrilled to see it. So the answer is, stress is only when you view something in a very narrow perspective. If you take a look at the whole picture and you see Heilige Kinder coming to shul, then they run on your lawn. But it's Yiddish Kinder. So you're tight on the bus. But you're doing Yidden Chesed. I know a woman who's an immaculate housekeeper. You can walk into her house almost any time. The house is clean. The woman cannot go to sleep at night until the house is perfectly clean. So now what happens? Yom Tov comes, and I walked into that house. I could not believe it.
All the toys all over the place. You had all the grandchildren there, Baruch Hashem, for Yontif. All the toys and everything. I don't have to tell you the Bahala that can be Kanina Hara with many, many grandchildren in the house. And so I asked the woman. I didn't even have to ask, it's obvious. So is she going to be upset? Adraba, this is the greatest bracha in the world. So not once did she complain about the mess. Adraba, she was so proud of it, and I'm proud of her because it's my wife. Listen to this, you won't believe it. What's the shot where sometimes a person can see stress when there's no stress to be seen? I know a kala that her grandmother bought for her wedding leichter. And this grandmother buys for all the 8 o'clock. She buys leichter. So the mother-in-law of this kala takes a look at the leichter. She says, you can't use it. She says, why can't I use it? It's beautiful. My grandmother got it for me. She gets for all the 8 o'clock. So the mother-in-law, a wealthy woman, says, the petals on the flower are facing the wrong way. They're facing outward, and they really should be facing inward. And would you believe that she actually made the collar go to a silversmith and change those petals so that they go inward? Could you imagine that stress? That's putting stress where there's no stress. I remember Avshalom Shadron, the one I owe so much to him. I remember he once told us a story in Eretz Yisrael about a gabbai of a gemach. This fellow was the sweetest person you can imagine. And he would give out every penny that they had from Sunday till Friday. He closed the gemach if there was no money. And then he would begin raising money at the beginning of the week. At the end of the week, all those who needed money for Shabbos would come to him. So what happened? And they never gave twice to one person during the week. And what happened? A young Torah fellow came on a Thursday afternoon. And the gabbai recognized him. And he said to him, you've been here once before this week. I can't give you. He said, but I need the money. He said, but that's the policy of the gemach. And the Torah fellow lost himself and slapped the gabbai in the face. And the people who were there were going to run and kill the fellow. A chutzpah, a heilige yid who runs a gemach, doesn't get paid for it, and he does so much chesed. And you know what this fellow did? He ran downstairs right away, and he went to raise more money. And he came back, and he gave money to the fellow. And people asked him, how could you possibly have done that? He said, you know what? I know this fellow. He's a gentle fellow. He's a nice fellow. If he did such a thing to me, he must be in such stress. He must be in such a financial bind that he lost himself. Get that rachmanis on him. So here a gabbai, and most of us, if anybody would do that to us, we would be livid. But he didn't take the narrow perspective. He could have been stressed out. But he has to run this gemach. He's not getting paid. But when you take the total picture, that somebody who does something like that, it's his problem, it's Rachmanis on him. Then, all of a sudden, what we learn from these three incidents is that we have to look at a total picture. If we look at a total picture many, many times, that we feel stressed, we will find a positive element in that situation. So that progression that Baruch Lera taught us about stress, anger, and explosion, hate from God is on, there's no stress. The question of perspective. Listen to this idea. We all know that Moshe Rabbeinu, before he was Nifter, he bent Klal Yisrael. We all know that Yaakov Avinu, before he died, he bent his children. Even Yitzchak, as he was getting older, went to bench his children. But somehow, Avraham Avinu didn't bench Yitzchak before he died. As a matter of fact, the Torah tells us something very interesting. Bereshis Chafei Yud Aleph, Vayhi Achrei Moit Avraham, after Avraham Avinu died, Vayivorech L'kimes Yitzchak B'noi, the Eivish to bench Yitzchak. So of course the Medrash, and Rashi brings the Medrash, but Rashi doesn't bring it exactly the way we have it in the Medrash, but I want to quote the Medrash. The Medrash asks, what do you mean? Why didn't Avram bench his son? And why did Hashem bench him? Listen to this beautiful Medrash, and we will learn a tremendous lesson in coping with stress. The Medrash tells us, this is a mashal. A mashal to a gardener who was taking care of the boss's garden. And there were two trees that were intertwined. One was a very beautiful fruit tree, and it gave off beautiful pears. But over the winter, a poisonous tree wrapped itself around this fruit tree. And now the gardener had a problem. He didn't know what to do. If I water the tree, so then both trees will blossom. And that poisonous tree will also blossom. Chas v'shalom, somebody could die from it. But if I don't water it, so then even that wonderful fruit tree will die. What should I do? So you should look it up in Bereishis Rabbah Samach Aleph Vav, and it's brought also in the Medrash Rabbah Bamidbar. The gardener says, look, it's not my problem. I can only do a certain amount. I'm at a dilemma. I can't go any further here. It's the boss's garden. He's going to have to deal with it. There's something that I can't do here. So I say, no, I can't do it. So the Medrash says, Avraham Avinu had a problem. He has children, Yitzchak, Yishmael, the Bnei Keturah. What am I going to do? I'm going to bench Yitzchak. Yishmael's going to want a bracha. So then, if I, and the Bnei Keturah are going to give, I want a bracha. I can't bench one child without benching the other. So I don't know what to do. Hashem, it's your world. I understand my limitations. I don't know how to choose. I can't choose. I know what I want to do, but I just can't do it. I'm not going to do anything. That's why the Pasuk tells us. You're right. Avraham Avinu couldn't do it. Because Avram knew that he just couldn't do it. We have to acknowledge that we can't do it all. One of the reasons that we feel stressed out is because we feel, as was mentioned before, we're on a guilt trip, we have to do everything. And Pirkei Avos tells us, Lai Alecha Hamalacha Ligmar. You cannot finish it all. No one can finish it all. You're not free just to sit back and do nothing. You've got to do your share. But you know something? An amazing din in Shulchan Aruch. It's based on Suvis Nun Omer Aleph. Hamavazvei Al Yavazvei Yosem Echoimesh. If let's say that you want to give a tremendous amount of tzedakah and you give up to a fifth, up to a fifth of your earnings, you're giving for tzedakah, the Gemara says, no more. You're not allowed to give more. Why? Shema Yitzayrach Lebriyot. You're going to become dependent on people. You can't give away. So now imagine this. You gave away more than a fifth. And somebody says, listen, I got a moishet. The moishet is going to fall. You've got to help me. And you say no. And there's a precedent for saying no. Avraham Avinu said no. And the Gemara tells us, when it comes to tzedakah, if you gave more than a fifth, you also say no. And that's what we have to learn how to do. We have to learn to say no, which I'll teach you in a moment, to say no politely. But you don't have to go to every wedding that you're invited to. And you don't have to help every moishah that calls you. It's the Eibishter's world. Because if you go to every simcha and you get involved with every moishid, your children will lose on it and your spouse will lose on it. And Dr. Abba Goldman, a psychologist also in our shul, said a gewaldig word. He said, don't make the necessities of life become emergency. You know what that means? There are many things that are optional in this world. A wedding is optional. Unless it's your own child or your brother and sister, the wedding is optional. You know something? If you come late, you'll be surprised they went on with the chuppah without you. How do you like that? And so therefore, every wedding is optional. And a shir at night is also optional. You could go in the morning. And a class in the night is also optional. Go at another time. So those are optional, but they're each self-justified. I want to go to a shir. A wife wants to go to a class. You want to go to a chasana. But if you do all these optional things, that necessity of spending time with your wife or with your husband or spending time with your kids, all of a sudden after 4 or 5 days, you know you haven't said a word to your wife, you haven't said a word to your husband, you haven't said a word to the kids because you're all over the place. So the necessities all of a sudden become emergency. I better spend time with my kids, otherwise they're going to be in the pool hall. I better spend time with my husband or wife. Who knows what they're going to start thinking. So don't let necessity become emergency. We must learn to say no. And while we're talking about stress of weddings, although this is a slightly off the topic, but again, it's causing stress. I know of a family recently, two large families. They sent out 500 invitations for the chasana. A week before the chasana, all they had was 100 returns. That's not right. They don't have to sit making 400 calls the last week of the chasana. You know very well whether you're going to that chasana or not the minute you get the invitation. Decide and send it back. Otherwise, you're causing stress and aggravation and a waste of time to that family. So now perhaps I understand a very difficult pasuk in Chumash. By Yisachar it says, Vayar menucha kitayit. He saw rest, tranquility, it was good. And then it says, Vayeshich melizbal. He bent his shoulder to the axle to accept the burden. What do you mean? You're working, that's leisure. Teretz is, if you only undertake the amount that you can, and you learn to say no politely and properly, then everything that you get involved with, of course you're going to get involved. Lo yalecha melocha likbar, but lo yata ben choyru libota mimena. Einachanami, vayar menucha, you have menuchas hanefesh. You're involved with this organization, but not everyone. You come to a chasana, you decide you're going to this one, not to everyone, you can enjoy this one. So now let's see how you say no. Three words you got to use. I understand, however, therefore I suggest. In other words, don't use the word but. But is a very aggressive word. Now let's say that you have a child in high school and they're going to Washington, right? Or they're going to Niagara Falls. And they call you and they say, Mrs. So-and-so, you're a very responsible person. And we need you to be the chaperone for the children because you're responsible. So you should say, I understand that it's so important to have a responsible person that Tuesday to go with a girl. However, I have to be in the city that day because I'm taking care of a sick parent. Therefore, I suggest you should call Mrs. Leshkowitz. She's capable. Let's say somebody wants to borrow money, right? And you're afraid because you know that they don't have a good track record. But they need a car. They really do need a car. And they call you and they say, listen, could you lend me money? I know you have it. So you should say, I understand. And I can appreciate and I realize that you need a car. I've heard that it's broken down a number of times. However, I'm just not in a position at this moment to be able to do that. Therefore, I suggest that you should go to the local gemach. And I'll tell you what happened with me just last week. An organization called me up, a wonderful organization. They wanted to make a parlor meeting in Queens, and they said, Rabbi Krum, could you please speak for our organization? You know it, you've been there, you know it's a wonderful organization, and we've never had a parlor meeting in Queens. So I said, after I learned this, I said, I understand that it's so important for you to be able to come to Queens and start a new group that will support the yeshiva. However, my time is so taxed. I have so many drushes that I have to prepare. And so I just can't give up the night and I don't have the time to prepare another drusha. So I would suggest that you should call either Rabbi Matthew Solomon, Rabbi Yisrael Reisman, or Rabbi Yisrael Fran, because they're all wonderful speakers. So there's a moment of silence on the phone, and the guy says, I'll tell you the truth, we called all of them, they said no, so we're calling you. That's stress. How many times does it happen? How many times does it happen? I know it happens with me. I have to go to do a bris in Manhattan in the morning. Now you know if you're going to go into Manhattan, there's going to be traffic. Like the sun rises in the morning, if you're going on Monday through Friday, and you're going into the city in the morning, there's going to be traffic. There are many, many people who go crazy in traffic. And it is so stressful, and the people are so angry. You look in some of the cars, you see people are mamish chalashim. They're furious. And they're dashing from one lane into the other. But if you only plan ahead, and that's what I try to do. I know I'm going to sit in traffic 40 minutes. There's no way getting around it. So leave 10 minutes earlier. Take a tape. And you know the traffic is going to be there anyway. So now, so you listen to a tape. There are a lot of good tapes out there. So you listen to a tape. Or take your cell phone. It's good to make calls while you're sitting in traffic, right? There's certain calls you just gotta, whatever, acknowledge certain things. It's very simple. But only if you plan ahead. Otherwise, traffic is very, very stressful. So there's stress and anger and explosion, but it doesn't have to be stress if you plan ahead. How many people here are sending their children to camp this summer? And how many will begin packing June 31st? You know you're going to pack. So why not on June 15th? Put a certain box and all the things that have to go to camp, start putting them whenever you see them. Why do you have to order the labels for the kids' clothes on June 20th and then get angry that it didn't come in time? You can send away the same check in May. Or how many people go to Eretz Yisrael and then remember they got to get a passport 2 days before? So they have to go to Stamford, Connecticut and spend $75 to get a plan ahead. So many things. Shabbat, as was mentioned. Is there any reason why kids can't be given baths Thursday night? Is there any? They're not going to get that dirty on Friday, believe me. Especially on the short one. Is there any reason you can't pick up the clothes from the cleaners Thursday afternoon? And is there any reason a husband who's going to listen to this tape can't prepare a bar Thursday afternoon or Thursday night and not wait till Friday 5 minutes before Shabbos? All these things are stressful, but they don't have to be. Think about those things are inevitable. Camp is inevitable. You're going to Eretz Yisrael. You know you're going. So think ahead, plan ahead. And if you're organized, I'm a big believer in books. Wherever I go, I carry a spiral with me. Or carry a little notebook. You ever see some of these men that carry 500 papers in their pocket? I'm going to have to find a telephone number for sugar. I always believe you got to carry a spiral or a notepad where you make notes. I have a special page for stuff that you have to do. Lagava home, stuff lagava the business, stuff lagava writing, stuff lagava speeches. Every page is a different list. And if you have this spiral with you and you're always writing down things and cross them off when you do them, you feel wonderful. You've accomplished something. So that's the second thing. Plan ahead. If you can plan ahead and those things that you know that are going to happen anyway, then for sure, so much stress is avoided. Dr. Goldman told me, he said, you know what, he says when he tells his patients, he says, anything that you think is going to take an hour, give it an hour and a half. Always give time and a half to that thing that you think you have to accomplish. And then you won't undertake 25 things. Because like this, you're underestimating the time that it takes to accomplish something. I want to talk about a stressful situation. It has to do with family. Now, all of us know, and every study shows, that if a family is a loving, kind, caring family, most of the time, the children that grow from those families, they will all have self-esteem, they'll all be happier, and they'll lead less stressful lives. But every situation, even in the most wonderful families, there are stress moments. And in certain families, Nebuch, there are many, many stressful moments. And I would like to talk about, for a few moments, the stress that we see that goes on today between young couples, especially when they have children, and their parents. Now, I called Dr. Abba Goldman because I wanted to talk about this family stress between young couples who have children going to the parents. I called him a few days after Yontif, and he started laughing. He said, I'm so busy today. I said, why are you so busy? This is the exact words he said. The warriors have come home from the battlefield. So I would like to say four things before I tell you three stories, three scenarios. The first thing that I would like to say is that there are many, Baruch Hashem, many large families, and many times they all want to be together for Yontif back at home. Mothers, don't be afraid to say no. Don't be afraid to tell your children, I can't take all of you at the same time, I'm just not up to it. But mommy, we want to come home, we want to be all together. Come call me for a night. Buy tickets in a hotel, we'll all go to a hotel together. I'm not for hotels, but if that's what you want to do. But it's wrong for young couples to intimidate parents who cannot take the noise and who cannot take the stress If a parent, a grandparent cannot do it, especially because they have other children at home, or for whatever reason, mothers, do not be afraid to say no to your children. I'll have you, but not all at the same time. That's the first thing. The second thing I would like to say to all young couples, diapers, dishes, and toys are the parents' domain, not the grandparents'. Yeah, you can clap. How many young couples come back home and they think, I'm exhausted, I'm entitled to vacation. Your mother's home or mother-in-law's home is not a hotel. And there's no reason for a grandparent, unless she enjoys it, to clean diapers and dirty dishes and clean up the toys. That's your job. And you should get up from the table to help. Your mother doesn't have to serve 49 people. That's the second thing. The third thing I want to address to those parents that are supporting children in Kailo. You must look at it as the greatest chut that you have. Supporting children that are learning is an honor and a privilege that you should be grateful for. It's not something that gives you influence to put the screws on children that they have to do what you want just because you support them. Adarabha, you should be proud to support them, not that you're buying influence. And I'll tell you, a din in Shulchan Aruch, most people can't even imagine that such a din exists. But in all places, it's in Hilchas Kibud Av V'Em. In your Yerdeyasim, in the Reish Mem Yutet. This is for fathers and mothers. But the Yerdeya addresses the father. Asur la'adam la'achbid oylai avona. It is also for parents to put pressure on children. Ul'adafek b'chvoidai. And be majestic in their covet, shalayeviyem l'day mishal. Children have the obligation of kibud av v'aim. But if you insist that they come in from Eretz Yisrael when they really can't come in, that's a pressure that many of them can't get away from. Of course they feel a certain hakaras hatayim. And of course they feel a certain level of kibud av v'aim. But you as a parent, just because you're supporting, have no right to put pressure on children. And then, one more thing. And this is addressed to those wonderful young couples, and we all, many of them, many of us have them in Eretz Yisrael. All of you in Eretz Yisrael have no right to put pressure and stress on parents to bring silver foil, peanut butter, tomato sauce, and noodles. If you're living in Eretz Yisrael, experience Eretz Yisrael. Otherwise, move back. That's what we really want. Children that are living in Eretz Yisrael have to understand. Could you imagine? This is unbelievable. There was a young woman, a married young woman, who for whatever reason, I don't know if she was expecting whatever it was, so she called her mother and she said, Ma, could you please send me meat? As if there's no meat or chicken in Eretz Yisrael. So the mother went and she sent her a whole box load of meat. And the mother didn't bring it herself. The mother had to have somebody else bring it. Also a stressful thing to ask somebody else to schlep that. And don't tell me the porter brings it in, because you got to check it off the luggage and you have to wait an extra hour for that package, because your three things came right away and that thing takes an hour later to come. So could you imagine, when the girl got the meat, you know what she said? How come my mother didn't cook it? Imagine? So she's not enough happy that the mother went and bought the meat and sent it to her, but she's complaining. So there are certain levels of stress that young couples and parents have to look out for each other. Parents should make sure they're not putting stress on children, and children should try to not to put stress on parents. There's an union of kibud av v'aim, of course, and there's an union of hakaras hatayim, of course, for support. But we have to look what's best for the other person, not only what's best for ourselves. So now let me tell you three stories. Each one is true, and we're going to learn a great lesson from each one of them. There were parents that were making a chatana for a child here in New York. So the young couple that lived in Eretz Yisrael, of course they're going to come in for the chatan and the week of Sheva Brachos. but the sisters were close. So she's going to come in for the Shabbos Kala. The Chatan is on Wednesday. She's coming in 4 days early. So her husband, okay, what can he do? So now he's going to give up 2 weeks of learning. So the father-in-law calls him and says, hey, wait a second. You're coming in a few days earlier, but the Kala's brother is having a bar mitzvah the Shabbos before. So why did you come in for the bar mitzvah already? You're coming in a few days early. But he said, 3 weeks I'm going to give up my learning. I'm going to give up a chavrusa. How can I do that? So you have to ask yourselves, if you were this father, is that what you would do? Is that the right thing to make sure and put the pressure on the young man that he should come in? Or maybe the young man, after all, he does owe it to the family. So I'll tell you something. I asked a rabbi and a psychologist what they would say. And both of them said the same thing, and I never would even thought about it. That's why I love to ask up David Cohen thing. And Dr. Abba Goldman. Both of them said, what about the boy? What about his feelings? Most young boys look up very much to their older sister's husband. And now this boy is going to feel, I want to have a kesher with my brother-in-law. And he's not machshiv my bar mitzvah? I didn't even think of that. That's Das Torah. Again, if this is in your family, you always have to ask Das Torah. Every situation is different. Here's another one. A young woman's about to have a baby. So she calls her mother, Ma, could you come to Eretz Yisrael? You know, I need to help all the mothers. Come. She said, I can't come. I work for an accountant. The baby's going to be born right around the tax season. I can't get away. But I'll tell you what. If you want to come to New York, I'll be happy to have you. But COVID God will come. She says, Ma, but I can't travel in the 9th month. I'm going to have to travel the beginning of the 9th month. But COVID God will. You were here for 20 years. You could come. No problem. So, then the husband says, a month early? I can't go in. Lose chavrusas and lose my learning. I can't do that. So now there's a little pressure. Of course, the mother-in-law would like. She doesn't want her daughter to travel alone. So this very wise family went to an Adam Gadol Ad Miyoyed. And the only reason I'm not saying his name is because every family is different and every situation is different. And what that Gadol said, I never would have thought about. He said, at the beginning of the 9th month, let the young man come. And 2 days later, he'll come back. Come back there to Israel and he'll learn. And then, right before she's due, he'll come in. Who pays for the 2 tickets? I don't know if they asked the Gadol that. But here's another one. Listen to this. Listen to this. A grandfather wanted to give a Sefer Torah to a shul. He wanted all his children to come in. Children, grandchildren. So, even those from Eretz Yisrael. So the young couple in Eretz Yisrael said, a Sefer Torah, come on. It's not a bar mitzvah. It's not a wedding. I mean, what is it? It's a 2-hour affair. After that, we have to come and schlep with the kids and everything. So I heard about this situation and I was discussing it with my children. And each one of them, those who live in Eretz Yisrael and those who don't live in Eretz Yisrael, everybody had different opinions. And then of course I went and I asked up David Cohen. Again, listen to this insight. You could call it from Pinchas of Das Torah. So Rav David says to me, giving a Sefer Torah when a grandfather gives a Sefer Torah, that's a totally different thing than when a young man gives a Sefer Torah. He says, the last mitzvah in the Torah, mitzvah tayyag, you could look it up in the Sefer HaChinuch, mitzvah lichtoy kol echad mi Yisrael, Sefer Torah la'atzmai. It's a mitzvah that every person should write a Sefer Torah. And the Chinuch says, a mitzvah e'efer lichtoy, and somebody who can't write it, he's not a Sefer, so he should hire somebody. And as the Rambam says in Hilchos Sefer Torah, Zion Aleph, V'chol HaMagia Sefer Torah, anybody who fills in one letter of the Sefer Torah, even one letter, says if he wrote the whole thing, because if one letter is missing, the whole Sefer Torah is possible. So Rav David said, with this idea, not in these words, but this concept, that when a Zayzeh gives a Sefer Torah, it's a symbol of continuation. It's a message from the previous generation to the new generation. It's a link from the past to the future. And then he tells me this story. One of the most astounding stories I ever heard. And I checked it out with a family and it's written in a book, which you should all read, which we'll talk about in a moment. Listen to this story. All of us know the Reichmans from Toronto. So the father of all the four sons, Shemaya Reichman, in 1969, he commissioned the Sefer Torah to be written. He wanted to give it to a shul in Toronto, and he was going to have his children and grandchildren with him. So the Sefer was overtaxed and overburdened and overwhelmed, and he didn't get it done. And the family is pushing the Sefer. Every time they go to Eretz Yisrael, or relatives in Eretz Yisrael go to the Sefer, listen, our Zayda wants to give a Sefer Torah. When is it going to happen? 6 years later, in 1975, the Sefer Torah was finished. They shipped it to Toronto, and they made up that on the second day of Shavuot, they're going to give the Sefer Torah to the shul. So on Thursday before Yom Tov, Mr. Shemaya Reichman sat with the Sefer of Toronto, and he filled in a few of the letters to be Mekayim, as we said, the Rambam of Shiva Sefer Torah. On Shavuot, he walked out with his children, together holding the Sefer Torah. So imagine this beautiful scene. The police, they cordoned off the street, and people from that shul, hundreds of people, walked towards the Reichman home with the Sefer Torah. He gives it over to his son, Moshe, under the chuppah. And he says to him, I don't feel well. And he falls down and he dies right on the spot. Imagine, a Zayda wanted to give the message over. And he gave it. And that was the last thing that he did in his life. He died right there. That's amazing. And there's an amazing book that Rav David Fields, every high school boy and girl should read. It's called The Reichmans. It's written by an Italian fellow, Anthony Bianco. It's a wonderful book. It shows what a Malchus Dika Mishpacha can accomplish. A tremendous Kiddush Ein Shamayim. Tremendous Yiddish history. But the idea is that unless you ask Das Torah, many times there will be stressful situations. So let's remember the next time we want our children to come in. Or let's remember the next time children want to come. And there's a shaila what to do. And everybody really wants to do what's better for others. Perhaps the idea is to ask Das Torah. Because you'll get an insight that you never even thought of. But now what happens if stress comes? Stress is here. There are certain situations that are unavoidable. So let us learn now 5 ways that we can cope with stress. But I want to preface it with a nice little story that I'm very proud of. Because the anniversary of this story is in these days. A number of years ago, I don't want to say the area, there was a couple that had a baby and they called me to do the bris. But they asked me to come to visit the baby before. And as I visited the baby, we got to talking, and then I really realized why they wanted me to come. There was a terrible discussion in the family about the name of the child, what it would be. The father wanted to name the baby Yaakov, because his grandfather, who he loved, was named Yaakov. The mother's father, his middle name is Yaakov, and he was alive. Baruch Hashem. So now the mother, she doesn't want to name a child Yaakov. Her father hates up Yaakov. And the father of the baby, it's his grandfather. What should they do? Now, I don't know how in the world I thought of this. But I said to them, look, we're in the middle of Sfira. Who is the central figure in Sfira? Rabbi Akiva. Name the child Akiva, because Akiva has all the letters of Yaakov in it. I'm telling you, believe me. Maybe I hang around the right people. And that little kid is named Akiva. Everybody was happy. And his birthday is Taka these days. Mamish in Sfira. The reason I'm telling you this story is because we have to learn from Rabbi Akiva how to manage stress. And there's a very interesting Gemara in Tainus Chafei Amadvei that tells us there was a time when there was no crops in Eretz Yisrael. And so therefore they went to Rabbi Lezer. They asked Rabbi Lezer, daven for us. There's no crops. And he davened for Gona Gehofen. Then they went to Rabbi Akiva. And they asked Rabbi Akiva to daven. And he davened. The tefillah that he made up that day was Avinu Malkeinu. And then he was answered. So everybody said, oh, you see Rabbi Akiva is a bigger Talmud Chacham than Rabbi Lezer. So the Gemara says, no, a Baskel came out. And the Baskel said, the reason Rabbi Akiva was listened to was not because one is greater than the other. Rabbi Akiva had the midah,
that he could look away. That he was very forgiving. And if you could learn this midah from Rabbi Akiva during these days of Tfira, we will alleviate a tremendous amount of stress. Just look away. It's not that important. And I'll tell you something that happened to me this morning. And maybe if I wasn't preparing this talk, maybe I wouldn't have acted the way I did. But I had a bris in a shul this morning, I don't want to say where. And when I go to daven in the morning, when I'm doing a bris, in my right hand I'm carrying my bris milah bag, which is very heavy. In my left hand I'm carrying my talis and tefillin, plus a tray and a stand where I put the instrument. So I'm walking outside towards the shul, both hands. There's no way I can open the door. And I see a young fellow walking about 10 feet away from me. So I thought for sure he would say, "Oh, you're the moya, let me open the door for you." But he didn't. So I was thinking, oh, maybe he's not a mensch, but okay, fine, I'm not going to say anything, fine. So what I did was I shuffled the bag and I opened the door and I held it for him. And he walked in and he couldn't say thank you. So I meant I was going to tell him. A normal person would have held the door for me and a better person would have said thank you. But I didn't. I held myself back. I figured, who knows? Maybe the guy is a single fellow and he doesn't have a child and he doesn't have a wife. Or maybe he does have a wife, and that's his problem, I don't know. But whatever it is, fine, look away. It's not worth it. So many times you're driving on the highway, somebody cuts you off and he gets into a lane. How many times you see people pointing at them, so what, forget about it. Somebody goes in front of you on a line in a store. Be a maverick, tell yourself. It's easier. You'll see, you'll have less stress if you're forgiving. Look away. How many times does it happen? You're making a chasenis and you want your mechatenis to wear the same type of gown so that you'll match. And she doesn't want to wear that same gown that's going to match the tablecloth. Right? And is that really such a big deal? Does it really have to match? Does the niggin at the wedding really make a difference what they march down to? You know there are two types of minhagim as far as walking down a chasen kala. Some have the minig that the father and mother walk the chasen, father and mother walk the kala. Some have a minig that the two fathers march the chasen, the two mothers march the kala. So somebody once asked Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, I don't understand, by some children you did one way, the father and mother walked each one, and the other one you did the two fathers, two mothers. What's your minig? You know what Rabbi Yaakov said? My minig is to do whatever the mechatanim wants. That's a great thing if we can learn to do that. So I want to tell you about a great book. I hope nobody minds my mentioning this secular book, but it's a great book, and I'll tell you why I'm mentioning it. It's called Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. And there's another book like it, Don't Sweat the Small Stuff with Your Family. And here's the secret. You see, Art Scroll's book, it's not as tough as you think. They got the idea from this. That's why they printed it the exact same way. And it's a great book also. It's not as tough as you think by Rabbi Twersky. And sure enough, he printed, it's not as tough as home as you think. And that's the latest thing. They're all trying to do what Don't Sweat the Small Stuff did. Get this book. Go to a library. Get this book. Or get this book from Art Scroll or whatever. It's not as tough as you think. It's not as tough as home as you think. And most of the things that they are telling you in these books is be a maver al midoto. Don't take life so serious. Don't get so angry. So that's the first thing that we can learn to cope with stress. Become a maver al midoto. Here's the second thing. The Gemara tells us in Yuma Ayin Hei Amid Aleph, based on Mishle Yudbeis Chafei, the Ogam Alevish, if a person has a worry in his heart, Yachchena, that means quash it. So the Gemara says, you know what it really means? Yachichena la'achelim. Talk it out to somebody else. Each one of us has to have a best friend. It's so important to have somebody that you can talk to. It doesn't have to be the gresifikeach, it has to be somebody that's on your wavelength. Many, many of us have acquaintances, but not enough of us have good friends. If you find that good friend, many times, what's a good friend? You know what a good friend is? A good friend is somebody that you can share your successes with and your failures with, and they won't be jealous and they won't look down on you. Every one of us, if you're zeicha to have one or two in life, you're very lucky. And as was mentioned before, if it's your spouse, then you're luckiest.
But not everybody is zeicha for that. But even if your spouse is not the one that you could feel that you could open up to in all situations, Chazal are telling us, get a friend, talk it out, because that relieves stress. And Rashi says, not only that, you'll get advice, but the Tzfas Emes says, a gvaldik of shas. If you have a worry and you tell it to your friend, and your friend is a dehyphen and mensch, and the Eibishter doesn't want that that person shall suffer, the Eibishter is going to take away your pain, because that person is suffering. But if you don't have anybody to talk it to with, so then maybe it's still going to be there. And we know a famous pasuk in Yeshaya Mem Aleph. They made a famous song out of it. Ish es re'eyu yazoiru. One man can help another. Ula achiv yoyma chazak. One brother says to the other, be strong. And we all know when we're down, we need that one friend to say, you're not as bad as you think you are. You really have tremendous qualities. Keep it up. It's only a temporary problem. And the saddest four words in Shas, I think. Oy chavrusa, oy nisusa. Kuni Amadol, he wanted recognition. He wanted people to look at him. He was asleep for 70 years. He came into Beis Medrash. Nobody looked at him. And you know what happened? He was so sad that the Chachamim was hatam his follow that he should die, and he did die. And that's what we need. That's how you can help another person not have stress, become a friend. A chaver is chibur. It means coming together. There are many lonely people out there. There are many people that are stressed out. Try to become a friend. And the Eibishter will make sure that you will get a friend. Now, the Pele Yoyesh writes, Ein ava v'chavrusa ela v'doinim shavim b'midai. Two close friends are very much alike. Oz yeshu yachtov. But it's so hard to find a good friend. If you find him, yechzenu, hold on to him, v'lo yarfenu, and don't let it weaken. So the first thing, as we said, is be a forgiving person, be a maver al midosav. And the second thing is, be a friend and gain a friend. Let us picture this dramatic scene in the history of Klal Yisrael. And we will learn a great deep psychological insight from Avshan Shaful Hirsch, and he uses those words, a great deep psychological insight. Imagine Esav is now going to see Yaakov, and Esav is furious. He wants to kill Yaakov. Yaakov took away the b'chayra, took away the brachot. And Yaakov knows that Esav is so angry. What is he going to do? So listen to what he does. He's going to bring him, and I took it out with my calculator, more than 500 animals. So what does he do? There's camels, and there's rams, and there's goats, and there's sheep. He doesn't bring it all at one time, because one time is not going to assuage the anger of Esav. So the pasuk says like this. He said to his servants, look, all the camels, one place. Go, the leader of the servants, you go with the camels and give them a gift. And then show them way back as far as the eye could see, here come the sheep. And then when the guy comes with the sheep, he gives another gift. And then he shows way back out there as far as the eye can see, here comes the goat. And the pasuk tells us, Vayitem biyad avodav eider eider levadai. One flock separately. Vayemer lavodav, and he said, Ivru lefonai. Verevach tosimu bein eider laeider. Put a space between each flock. And so Rav Shamsa Fulhish says this was a great psychological insight on Yaakov Avinu. Because when you want to assuage the anger of someone, you can't do it all at once. You have to have a break in between. Let us look at our stress as that anger. And we have to take a break in between. And we must make sure that's called the transition space. And we must make sure, as we said before, exercise. There's no reason that you can't take out 15 minutes a day to read a newspaper, to read a book, to do a crossword puzzle, to take your grandchild through a car wash and sit in the car with him. Then you'll see how exciting a car wash is. Or take a walk in the park. And you know, I want to tell you something. We're going to make it famous in a minute. A Yerushalmi that everyone should know, wait a second, I can't leave this out. Because people will say, exercise, that's a Yiddish Zah. So listen to the Klal Yisrael. The Klal Yisrael where Adam got cursed. V'zeyas apecha toich alechem. Right? We know the curse. He's going to have to sweat. With the sweat of his brow, he's going to eat bread. So listen to this. Yeh smach mikan, he writes. Gimel Tes in Bereshit. L'divrei haroifim, that which the doctors tell you, shekoidim kol achila, before you eat, tzorich ha'odam lasek be'ezem aloch ha'machamemes es baleo. You gotta build up a sweat, and then eat, because that's the healthy thing. B'zeyat apecha, tzorich ha'lechem. Do exercise before you eat. So you have a mocker in the Torah. And then, what I can't get over this here, Hashem is cursing Adam Arishay, but he's still giving him good advice. B'zeyat apecha, tzorich ha'lechem. But now listen to this, Yerushalmi and Kedushin, Dalad Yudbeis. Asid Adam Litain Din Bechezbin. Every person here is going to have to give it Din Bechezbin. I'll call Sheros Einar Beloyal Chal. Every good thing that there was out there that you didn't meet that was kosher, you're going to have to give it Din Bechezbin. How come you didn't take on Noah from the Avish's world? Don't worry about the calories. You don't have to do it every day. But after all, who did the Eidishim make all these beautiful things for, if not for us? And the Yerushalmi in Jadorim says, Lo Zayach Masha Oso L'Chotayra, it's not enough, all the Yisurim in the Torah, El Shatam Avakesh, Lesser, Alecha Dvorim Achayim, you gotta make new Chumash and new Yisurim? Enjoy life. You're supposed to enjoy life. And you have to allow yourself, give yourself permission to enjoy life. Look at the Mesilas Yisharim Peres Yisgimel, he explains. Don't do anything that's Chas V'Shalom going to lead to an Aveira. But enjoy life, relax, go on vacation. How many here have seen, you don't have to go to Eretz Yisrael if you can't afford it, or to Switzerland, go to New Hampshire. Take a ride in the summer to New Hampshire and see the mountains. Did you ever go on a chairlift? Okay, I did a crazy thing this summer. I know you're not going to believe it. I went paragliding. I'm telling you. I know, nobody can believe it. But when you're paragliding over those mountains, believe me, it's the most exhilarating feeling in the world. There was a guy behind me, believe me, he was holding on to me. I wouldn't do it myself. But it's an amazing thing to see mountains. Okay, you don't have to see mountains from the top down, stand below. But who else did Hashem make these things for? We have to learn to enjoy life. That's a way of reducing stress. And then we're going to say the fourth thing, we'll review, and we'll end with a fabulous story and the fifth lesson. But the fourth lesson is that which the Torah tells us. Chaklili einayim meyoyim. Yehuda's eyes will sparkle from wine. Ulevem shinayim mechalav. And his teeth will be white from milk. Zokti gemara toiv hamalvin shinayim mechaveroi. Yesem imashkeo chalav. It's more important when an oni comes to you that you show him the white of your teeth. Learn to smile. So I ask you, if an oni comes to your house, he wants a smile. He wants milk. He's hungry. But the terror is milk is only temporary. That satisfies the guf. But what satisfies the nefesh is a smile. And so therefore, we have to learn not only to smile for ourselves, but to smile for others. When you smile to someone, you're validating their presence. And that's why perhaps that's the pshat on shmartim mi'oid l'nafshei seichem. The nefesh is the one that receives the smile, that receives the kavod. I remember I used to say, Rav Gusman said, he never needed kavod ever. Because when he was 19 years old, and he was once sitting in a room, and he walked into a room, Rav Chaim Oizer stood up for him. Rav Chaim Oizer, the Gadol Ador, stood up for a 19-year-old fellow. And he said that was enough kavod to last him for life. Kavod and a smile validates people. Many people are down, whether it's the singles or the lonely people or those that don't have children yet. And so many people with problems smile. That validates them. And I'll tell you something amazing. It's no shame. And it's no easier to tell a great joke and to be humorous. You know what the Rabba did in Shabbos Daf Lamed on the base? Rabba Mekame the Pasach Lahura Abonah, before he gave a shir, Omar Milsa to Bidichusa. He said something funny. He said something humorous to the shir. Ubatki Rabbanan, all the Rabbanan laughed. And Lasoy, and then he said the shir very seriously. And Rashi says, why did he make them laugh? Niftach Libam Machmasa Simcha. He opened them up because of Simcha. So let's begin to smile. I once saw a great expression. A smile is a little curve that sets a lot of things straight. And so therefore, if we can learn to smile, not only would we reduce our stress, but the stress of so many around us. So let's review quickly everything that we said, and we'll end with a fabulous story and a fabulous thought. Let's remember the Hashem Imenu Yoga Manocha is an old problem. It's a problem in time of Chazal. And we can learn that, and we have to learn that, because in Shemaitim Yorid L'Nafshei Seichem, we have the obligation not only to watch ourselves how to handle stress, but to make sure we don't stress out others. Stress can cause illness. That's why we have this obligation for this kinus. Let's remember, Oyvim Shfufim, it's the way you look at things. Why the people in the Beit HaMikdash, it wasn't difficult to bow down, because they were doing tefillah, they were getting kapara, like those people on the bus, they were doing chesed. So if you take a look at the whole broad picture, so you don't worry about the noise and the toys in the house. As was mentioned before, it's the biggest blessing in the world to have grandchildren. Let's remember that fellow who wasn't upset when the kids were running around his lawn, because he knew, chas v'shalom, the other thing that they did to children. Let's view the total picture. Let's avoid stress by learning how to say no. Avraham Avinu said no, he did not give a bracha to his son. Hamavaz says he can't give more than a fifth. Let us learn those words, I understand. However, I'm not in a position, and therefore I suggest, be polite, but don't take on those things that stress you. You don't have to go to every simcha. You don't have to say yes to every single organization. Plan ahead. If you plan ahead, you can avoid that last minute rush, whether it's Shabbos, whether it's a trip. Keep a list of things to do and cross out. None of those little papers. Many people have a palm pilot. Fine. But you can work it. But I can't. So I have a list. Heaven help you. If you have a palm pilot, then everything gets blank. When it comes to family situations, mothers should be able to say no to their children. They can't have everybody at the same time. Diapers, dishes, and toys are the domain of children, not grandparents. Ask a das Torah. Let's become Mavar al Midoysa, that meat of Rabbi Akiva. Don't sweat the small stuff. Little things, petty things. Look away, be forgiving. Oh, I forgot to tell you a story. But I must tell you the story about Yisrael Klein. Rabbi Yisrael Klein, he was a person who was the Baal Keira by the Belzer Rebbe. So a fellow Chaim Honig told me the story from England. He told me recently Yisrael Klein was nifter, and everybody was sitting shiva, and a man walks into the house. Nobody knows who this man is, and this man says to the children of Rabbi Yisrael Klein, he says, "You know, I'm only frum because of your father and grandfather." And they say, "Who are you?" Listen to what he says. Was the end of the war. He was a 15-year-old boy, this fellow. And he was walking around searching for food in the garbage pail. And he looked around, and Yisrael Klein happened to be walking by. He was just a few years older than him. He was 19, 20 years old. And he said to him, "Bochur, what are you looking for?" He said, "I need food. I'm starving. I need anything." And Yisrael Klein said, "I'm so sorry. I don't have food either." He says, "But I need." He says, "The only thing I can give you is a hug and a kiss, because you're a Yid and I love you and the Eibishter loves you." And he held his 15-year-old and he kissed him and he hugged him. And this man said, so many years later, when he had such difficulties, he always remembered that hug and that kiss. And he remembered that another Yid loved him, that Hashem loved him. And that's what made him keep his frumkeit. And that's being a friend. Let's look for a friend and let's be a friend. Let's learn to relax. Ada, Ada, we have so many things on our minds and our hearts. Don't do everything at once. Have a reva. Take time out every day. Make sure you go on a vacation. A vacation is a must. It's not an option. People die young because of stress. Take time out every day for something that you like. Read a book. Do a puzzle. Throw a frisbee. Who else was a frisbee created for? Do you know what it is? Learn to smile. Learn to smile. That goes to the nefesh of another person. And as we said, even Rabba wanted to open up the heart to the Talmidim, but he told them a joke at the beginning of the shir. I want to end with this great story and this thought. This is not an easy story to listen to, but this will be the ultimate way that we will be able to conquer stress. In Detroit, there's a fellow, his name is Elia Schoenig. Elia Schoenig had a son named Chesky. When Chesky Schoenig was just a few weeks past his bar mitzvah, he got very sick.
And they took him to every doctor, and never they found out that he had leukemia. And everybody was frightened because he had had leukemia when he was 2 years old. And everybody thought it was then in remission, and they thought it would never come back. The kid had it when he was two. And now Nebuchadnezzar came back with intensity when he was 13. And of course everybody davened, and everybody was crying. Detroit is a smaller Jewish community than New York. So everybody knew about it, and everybody was davening. And one day El Yashoni tells me, he comes into shul, and a fellow comes over to him and says to him, Elia, your son Chesky is going to be fine. He says, how do you know my son Chesky is going to be fine? He says, it's a pasuk. A pasuk? What pasuk? Listen to what he says. We daven every day. Eila barechem ve'eila basusim. Manachnu v'shem Hashem alakeinu naskir. Eila barechem ve'eila basusim means when goyim fight a battle, they have chariots, they have horses, but we have Hashem. He says, your son is fighting the battle of leukemia. It's a battle. If it was a goyish child, I would say it's hopeless. But we have different methods of war. Eila barechem ve'eila basusim, we have manachnu v'shem Hashem alakeinu naskir. And El Yashoni told me that when he heard that from this fellow, he got such chizuk. He was so positive that his son would become better. And the temporary nightmare would be just that, temporary. And then after a while, Chesky got sicker and he needed a bone marrow transplant in the Harbor Hospital in Detroit. And when he came onto the ward, the doctor said to him, Mr. Shoni, your son is doing better than anybody else on the ward. And he thought, of course. Eila barecha v'eila basusim v'anachnu b'shem Hashem alakeinu naskir. And he was convinced every day when he said the pasuk that his son would make it. But tragically his son got worse and worse, and he was nebuch nifter. And when he passed away, Detroit was in shrek lecha avelus. A young boy, a boy that everybody loved, a sweet child. And he told me every day the sukkim destroyed him. What happened? David HaMelech promised. How could that happen? He was right. David HaMelech said we have different battle plans. And he told me every day that his David be sook and it was worse than the day before. Until one day he thought of this shot. Listen to how he thinks. He said what David HaMelech is telling us is not the battle plan during the war, but the approach after the war. After the war, when a guy loses the war, the guy says, oh, if only I would have done something different, I could have won the battle. Eila barecha ve'eila basusim. If only I would have done this, if I would have done that, it would have been different. But a yid never looks back. V'anachnu b'shem Hashem alakeinu naskir. And that's why he says, now he understands the next pasuk. Hey, makaru v'nafalu. They slumped and they fell because they thought they could do something about it. But v'anachnu, kamnu v'nisaydad. We got up and we feel chizuk because we know that no matter what we would have done, this was the will of Hashem. Imagine a yid is able to lose a child and is able to say v'anachnu, kamnu v'nisaydad, and he has no more stress and he goes around telling the prophet because v'anachnu v'shem Hashem alakeinu naskir. Rabbi Akiva was the one who said a person has to say called the Ovid Rachmana Letav of it. Everything that a person that the Avisin did, he did for good. And we know the story. Rabbi Akiva was in the desert. Nobody would accept him in the house. Nobody opened up their house. He was a Maharam Amidosh if he didn't get angry. And he had a rooster and he had a candle and he had a donkey. And the wind blew out the candle and the cat ate the rooster. It sounds like Chagadya. And the lion ate the donkey. And what happens the next that night? Robbers come, everybody's killed out, and he's saved. Why? Because he didn't have the candle that shone, and he didn't have the donkey that made noise, and he didn't have the rooster that would make noise, so his life was saved. So he said, Kol ma da ovid rachmana l'tav ovid. At the end of time, Chazal tell us, Abasurei Tzayvayt, in this world we say HaTzayvah Meitiv. Chatzah Shalom Abasurei Tzayvayt, on bad news we say Baruch Dayan Emes. But La'olam Abba, in the end of the world, we're going to say on everything that happened, HaTov V'Hametiv. Why? Because then we will understand, only then we will understand what Rabbi Akiva tells us.
Rabbi Akiva, the Gemara tells us, V'hoi Hashem l'melech al kol ha'aretz v'yemahu yi Hashem echad u'shmoy echad. Echad means that there's one consistent pattern. Everything is good. We're stressed out because we can't see, we don't understand. But if we had Rabbi Akiva's midah of everything that happens is for the good, then we see now a brilliant einfall that Rav David Cohen told me in the Gemara. The Gemara tells us that said Gemara, when they were combing Rabbi Akiva's skin, and he was saying that he was waiting for this to happen, and the Talmidim said, Atan, Rabbi Akiva, such a serious nefesh. And he said, Kol Yoma, he was waiting that he should be able to say, B'chol Nafshecha. And then the Gemara says, Ashrecha Rabbi Akiva, Sheyotam Ishmosai Be'echad. What does it mean? That just the echad, when he said Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, that's what it means. That his neshama went out by echad. Of course, it means that, but it's more than that. It means that he understood that there's one pattern, and that is the echad, the pattern of goodness. We yet cannot see that goodness. We don't understand it yet, and that's why we're stressed. We have to daven to Hashem. We have to learn Torah and do mitzvahs and come close to tzaddikim who will give us the das Torah, who will show us the achdus of the way the Eivishter acts. Yontif is coming, Shavuos is coming. And in every day Yontif, we say in part of the Musaf, Uminchotam v'nizkeyam k'medubar. We talk about all the kavanot. And then we end that paragraph, Ushnei tamidim k'helchotam. The two tamidim, let us bring it to halacha, the carbon tamid in the morning, the carbon turban at night. The Chassidish Rebbe once said a gavaldik verse. In the first din in Shulchan Aruch in Aruch Chaim it says tamid, and in the last din in Aruch Chaim it says tamid. What does it say? In the Ramah, in Simon Aleph, it says, Shivisi Hashem l'negdi tamid. I said Hashem in front of my eyes all the time, constantly. And the last din in Aruch Chaim tells us, let's say it's a leap year. And Yud-Dalet Adar, Adar Aleph is not Purim. So the Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch says, make a little party anyway. It's Purim Kotin. Yad, then the Gemara says, Kedei Lotei Tidei Machmirim, and it ends, V'toiv Lei Mishte Tamid. That's the last words of Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Chayim. A person who has a happy heart, he's always living a good festive life. And that's the Pshat Shnei Smidim Kilchotam. Let us hope that we could be zeicha to do the Shnei Smidim Kilchotam, the Shvizi Hashem L'Neg Dishamid, and that Toiv Leiv Mishte Tamid. And then take a look at Sanhedrin Kuf Aleph Amid Aleph on top. And what does it mean, the Toiv Leiv Mishte Tamid? Rashi tells us, Eino Meisim Levoi De'oga. Toiv Leiv Mishte Tamid means don't worry. Don't sweat the small stuff. It's not as tough as you think. Be a Mavar Amidaisav. Toiv Leiv Mishte Tamid. Let us hope that from tonight on, we should be able to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to see His achdus of behavior in this world, so that we should take away Hosem Mimenu Yoga in Vanocha, we should see Freilich Ahertz and see Mashiach in our time. Thank you for inviting me. Thank you for listening.
I would just like to clarify a few points. Obviously, that the Gemara that tells us in Tainus Chafei Amid Beis that Rabbi Akiva davened, he wasn't davening for crops. They were davening, both Rabbi Eleza and Rabbi Akiva were davening for rain. The Gemara, Oy Chavrusa, Oy Misusa, which means either friendship or death, in the story of Chuni Ma'agol, is in Tainus Chav Gimel Amid Aleph. The two Yerushalmis regarding enjoying this world, what the Rabbeinu Shalom has given us, Yerushalmi Kedushin, Perik Dalad, Ois Yudbeis, and Yerushalmi in the Dorim, Perik Ches, Ois Aleph. And the Gemara that Rabbi Akiva was Yotza Nishmosei Be'echad, that is in Brachas, Samach Aleph, Amid Beis. And just to explain a little bit more clear, Ulaven Shinayim Micholov, the Gemara darshins that it's better, Ulaven Shinayim, to show the white of teeth through a smile rather than giving the cholov, as we explained. And then just one more final thing, the scene at the Sefer Torah, it just got cut off as the tape turned, was that there were five people that walked ahead of the hundreds of people in Toronto who came from that shul. Five people walked ahead carrying Sefer Torah, and they went out to greet the Reichmans, and Mr. Shmaya Reichman came with his Sefer Torah, walking with his children and grandchildren behind him and alongside, and then they came to meet at the chuppah, and that's when Mr. Shmaya Reichman gave over the Sefer Torah to his son, Rav Moshe. The Eivishter should help that all of us should be able to be mamshich our message to future generations.